Thank you for tuning in and listening to Oasis of Love's Sunday's message.
But I wanted to show that to you because Thanksgiving is right around the corner, right? And so there is definitely times that we need to take this time and really think about the stuff that we're really thankful for, and saying thank you to people in our life that have blessed us and so I just wanted to share that with you as something to be a little funny. So I got a good treat, you know, like Pastor said, my family's here, Wendy's family's here, which is really cool, and I'm wearing my preaching shoes, so I'm feeling pretty good. So we're going to dig into the Word, and one of the things is I always want to thank Pastor for letting me take the pulpit time, because it's not something that I take lightly, I really thank you for that. And so, we're going to dig into the Word, and one of the things I want to just want to share with you guys real quick before we jump in. We're going to look at the book of Jonah. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Jonah chapter 1. And one of the things is that the Lord told me, I want you to speak about GPS. And I automatically thought, what Pastor always says is Grandpa Positioning System, right? But Lord said, no, God Positioning System. And this morning we're going to talk about positioning ourselves where God wants us, moving down the roads that God wants us to move down. We got a lot to cover, and we'll see if we get through. See if we get through all my notes. But I want you guys to really just open up your hearts, open up what God's got for you, because what we're going to talk about is not really an easy topic to talk about, but it's a must-needed topic to talk about. There is somebody here that needs to hear this. And if that's not you, man, that's great. But God's got something for you this morning. God's got something for you to hear this morning. We look at the book of Jonah, and when we go through the book of Jonah, this is the classic story. We teach this to our kids, and the one thing that I always think about is VeggieTales. If you have not seen the VeggieTale Jonah, you must see the VeggieTale Jonah, because one of the things is I love the song, I'm sleeping with fishes here in the belly of a whale. And I always think whenever I hear of Jonah, that's what I think about is that song. I don't know why, but I do. But God has got something for you this morning, and he wants you to be blessed. So, Lord, we just thank you, God. Lord, we just open up our hearts to hear from you, Lord. Lord, it's not the words that come out of my mouth, Lord. It's not the things I have on this paper, Lord. But, Lord, it's by your Spirit, God, that we're going to learn this morning. We're going to take an inventory of things that are going on in our life, God. And, Lord, we just want you to expose all those things that are in our life, God, that we need to change, Lord. Lord, we thank you, God, for what you're going to do in our life, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, let's go ahead. Let's jump into the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. Now the word, if you have not yet, she will have that up on the screen for you. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Mittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Verse 4. But the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. Let's stop there. This storm was about ready to take this ship out. Now, they do not have ships like we have today. I don't know if any of you have seen, there's a lot of YouTube videos of these ships, and they are in some crazy, crazy storms. And this storm is about ready to just annihilate the ship and everybody on this ship. Verse 5, Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest part of the ship and laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise and call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know who causes this trouble that has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?" So Jonah said to them, "I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord our God of heaven, who made the sea and dry land." And that last part really, really gets me, because he knows that God, Jonah knows that God made the sea and the dry land, but yet he's still going to try to run. I don't know about you, but I look at Jonah, I'm like, dude, really? If I'm going to run, I'm going to stay on land. I am not going to the sea, because I got no control over the sea, like, at all. At least if I'm on land, my feet are planted. Jonah runs from God, and he does not take into account the risk that he's putting other people. The one thing I want you guys to get right now is that not listening to God will cost you, and it could cost other people around you. Jonah not listening caused these mariners to start throwing cargo overboard. Cargo that they probably are going to need, but it's one of those things that do or die, this is going to go, my life is more important. I remember I was living in Grand Rapids. I was a part of a program called Master's Commission, and there were six of us guys, and we lived in this house. And before we actually got into this townhome, we were staying with a family, and the family's name was the Schweitzers, and they had a son. His name was Nate Schweitzer. Love this kid. Ah, man, I got so many stories about Nate. It's unbelievable. But Nate Schweitzer knew Grand Rapids. Born there. He's 18, 19 years old. He knows Grand Rapids way better than I do. And then I have this buddy named Dan Gibson. Now, let me just give you a little background on Dan Gibson. Dan Gibson was from Yuma, Arizona, lived in, and you would ask him, "Hey, man, where are you from?" He'd say, "I'm from Flint," but he was actually from Ovid, Michigan. Have any of you ever heard of Ovid, Michigan? Exactly. Like, nobody knows where that's at. And literally, it's, okay, so you have Colon, right? And Colon has a stoplight. Ovid, Michigan doesn't even have a stoplight. That's like, it's, you just go right through. It's unbelievable. So anyway, so Dan, it's after church. We were youth leaders, and we go with all these other youth leaders from Grand Rapids First, we go to Applebee's. And why we would go to Applebee's, I don't know, because we had no money at all, none. And so we go to Applebee's, we hang out, and I tell Dan, "Hey, Dan, I'm going to ride with you back to the house." He says, "Oh, okay, cool, man." And he looks at Nate Schweitzer and says, "We're going to beat you back to the house." And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, let's do it, man. We're on it." And I go, "Man, hey, do you know where you're going?" Because I don't have no idea where I'm at. He's like, "Yeah, man, I found this shortcut." Yeah, how many of you have ever rode with somebody that says, "I got this shortcut," and you're like, "Here we go, what in the world?" So Nate Schweitzer goes, "No, you're not beating me, you're not beating me." "Oh yeah, we're going to beat you." And Dan is driving this Delta 88. Man, this thing was awesome. Two doors, and you sit in it, and it's like sitting on the couch, right? So we take off, super long story short, we take off, and we're going down this road. And we're going down Wilson Avenue. And on Wilson Avenue, we pass a detour sign. And I said, "Dude, is the road closed up here? He's like, oh, no, man, I got this. I passed one of these detour signs, man. It's a shortcut, man. We're going to totally beat Nate back to his house. Oh, okay, all right. And then all of a sudden, he comes up, and there's another detour sign. I was like, bro, do you really know where you're going? He's like, yeah, man. We're good, man. He said, I passed a couple detour signs. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm with him. All right, man. Yeah, man. As long as you know where you're going, it's cool. Then he passes another detour sign. I'm like, bro, are you, like, I don't know about this. He's like, yeah. Then he passes the fourth detour sign. I was like, bro, I don't know about this. And then all of a sudden, he comes up, and we pass this detour sign, and it goes. And I'm like, dude, see if you can rock it back and forth, because, right, we're from Michigan, so you know, if you get stuck, just rock that thing back and forth. And he's trying to get out, and we're like, what in the world? Like, what are we stuck on? And he's like, yeah. I said, this is like a dirt road. He goes, yeah, man, I went down a dirt road. I'm like, oh, okay, all right. So we're trying to get this car out, and then finally we step out of the car and literally push this sand. And I'm like, what is going on? Needless to say, we did not beat Nate Schweitzer to his house. Needless to say, because of our ignorance and not heeding to the detour sign, we didn't get home until like 2 o'clock in the morning, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, right? Our curfew was like at 11. Like, we were supposed to be back at this house at 11 o'clock. And it was unbelievable. But the thing is that God puts things in our way. God puts a sign in front of you. God is telling you, hey, don't go down that way. I don't know how many times I've gone down, and I'm sure many of you can testify to this, is that you go down the road and you're like, ah, oh, man, you pass, road closed, and you pass it anyways, and then sometimes you get to get through, right? And then there's other times you go and it's miles and miles and miles, and then you get to, oh, they took out this bridge and there's no way, so then you got to backtrack miles and miles and miles. Well, those signs are there for a reason. God is telling us to stay on certain roads for a reason. He is positioning you on a certain path so you can accomplish great things, so you can affect other people's lives in a great way. It is important that we listen to what God is telling us to do, even if we think, nah, I don't want to do that. In Numbers chapter 20, go ahead and turn there. Numbers chapter 20. And we're going to look at Moses. And it's unbelievable because you have these men of God, and God shows us that, hey, even my people that have strong anointing, sometimes they get a little wise in their own eyes, and they don't want to listen to what I'm telling them to do. Numbers chapter 20, and we're going to go to verse 8. And this is God. This is what God's telling Moses. Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield the water. Thus you shall bring for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded, and Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me and hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring the assembly into the land which I have given them. Doing our own thing can cost us a lot in the kingdom of God. Not listening to God, Moses not listening to God, it cost him being able to go into the promised land. It cost him something very, very great. It's important. It's important that we listen. You know, sometimes it's like, oh, how do I listen? How do I really take the time and just listen to God? Because we got a lot of stuff going on. I mean, I went from working 65 hours a week to now I feel like I almost got a vacation to working 50 hours a week. But man, our time can get away from us big time. You know, especially because we have these smartphones and we're in a generation that is constantly on their phone. I was watching a video and this guy was saying, he was talking about marketing on Facebook, and he said, you have to have that stop effect. And I'm like, the stop effect? And literally, he said he never realized it, but people, when they get on their phone and they're on Facebook, they're just scrolling. And they're scrolling. And they're distracted on what's going on. I mean, just distracted driving is unbelievable, right? So how do we really listen to God? What is one of the biggest things, and when me and Pastor were in Oklahoma, my buddy Michael, he reminded me of this. And if you don't have people in your life that speak into your life, that have the best interest in mind for you, I encourage you to find that person. I hadn't talked with Michael in months. And Michael, he gave me a good old 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 punch, like hard. And it set the whole weekend up for me and Pastor to be there. But it was something I needed to hear. It wasn't hard. It was, I was like, thanks, man. I love you, bro. You know, but it's because he cares. And he reminded me of this. Go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And I love this story, and this story impacts me in such a great way, because it totally breaks down the heart of God and what God really wants us to do and what God really wants, where God really wants us to be. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him saying, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Let's stop right. Test 1, 2. All right. So we're going to stop right there. One of the things is that distraction will cause you not to be able to hear directly from the Lord. There's a lot of things going on in our lives that are distracting us from being able to get into that quiet place, to get into our word, to get into that place where God is saying, hey, listen, I just want you to just be quiet for a moment and listen to what I've got to say. She was distracted with many things. Verse 41, and Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, all this stuff is going on, and Mary has chosen the good part. Mary has chosen, I don't care what's going on right here, I need to be hearing from Jesus. Church, that's the sweet spot. It's one of the biggest things that God wants us to get, is just sitting at the feet of Jesus, just getting into that quiet place, getting into that time of prayer, having that communication with God. Sometimes we just make prayer so hard and so difficult, and it's not. It's just simply just, man, Lord, I got this going on in my life. But we try to make it seem like that it's difficult and that it's, well, I don't know. I don't know if I can really express myself. Well, dude, just get real. Just get real with God. reading your Bible. We want to have a relationship with somebody, but not spend any time with him in his word. Many problems, many things that go on in our life are answered by getting into this. The generation growing up has no excuse not to be in their word daily, but yet still struggles to be in their word daily. It is at our fingertips, but we are so distracted on everything that's going on. We're so distracted by the things on Netflix and the things on TV and, well, I've got to watch that news. I've got to watch the show. I've got to be here. I've got to be there. And all God's saying is, hey, man, I just want you to spend some time with me. 14 years Wendy and I have been married. There's no way that we would be married right now if we spent no time together, if we did not get to know each other, if we did not let each other know, like, dude, pick your socks up. Are you serious right now? The relationship aspect, I mean, the natural and the supernatural, the natural's governed by the supernatural. If it works naturally, it's definitely working supernaturally. It's no different. I have to be in communication. I have to talk to her. If we never talked, our relationship would never be. We got to spend time with God. We've got to hear what God's got for us. You know when the Lord is talking to you. You know when the Lord is giving you the directions you need. How? Because your spirit bears witness to his spirit. Your spirit goes, hey, he's talking to you. You hearing that? Yeah. Man, I need to do that. But Lord, no. Your spirit knows. Spirit communes with spirit. Let me show you in John chapter 14. Go ahead and turn there. We're gonna go with this thing until the time is out. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 17. I'll give you a minute to get there, but you know when the Lord is talking to you, and you know when the Lord is giving you direction, your spirit bears witness. John chapter 14, verse 17, the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but it neither sees him nor knows him, but you. If you got a pen or a pencil or whatever, underline that you know him, for he dwells with you and he dwells in you. You know the Spirit of God because he dwells with you and he is in you. So therefore, you know when the Spirit of God is telling you to do something because your spirit is going, hey, I'm lining up with that. You got it? You got it? Noah knew what the Lord had told him to do, but chose to do the complete opposite. Why? Man of God has everything going for him. He is a prophet. Why would he not just do what he's told to do? I always think of my kids because I always tell them, just do what I'm telling you to do. You know, where it's funny when you're a parent that, you know, you, your mom and dad are like, wait until you have kids. And you're like, whatever. And then you have kids and you're going, wow, yeah, I definitely sound like my mom and dad. What in the world, right? But it's a good thing because why? Because your parents have the best interest in mind. God has your best interest in mind. And then when we do something that is complete opposite of what our parents tell us to do, there's consequences to that. I tell my kids all the time, like, you're either going to do this or be in trouble. Like, It's your choice. You're going to do what I tell you to do or suffer the consequence. Like, there's a consequence for it. God's no different. You got to do what God is telling you to do. Otherwise, you're setting yourself up for failure. We wonder why things are going wrong in our life. It's because you're not doing what God has been telling you to do. You're not listening to what God is telling us to move forward, the direction. Hey, get off that road. Turn around. Go past that detour sign. Go up the road. Take a left. I remember watching a video. This guy, he's, I think it's like Indonesia or something that he's in. And he literally gets up in the morning. Gets up in the morning and he says, I get up in the morning and I get my marching orders from the Lord. Whoa. My marching orders from the Lord. And this guy will walk miles until, and he will walk and walk. And the Lord says, take a right, and he takes a right. Go left, he goes left. Keep on this road, he keeps going down this road. What makes him any different? What makes him different than us? The amount of time he spends with the Father. The amount of time that he gets to know his voice. The amount of time that he's in his word. The amount of time that he's, Lord, what do you want me to do? It's funny, we expect that when we tell somebody to do something, we expect them to do it. But it's always different when somebody tells us to do something. If we don't really want to do it, then we don't do it. I tell my kids all the time, I said, hey, you'll hear people say, well, when you're an adult, you can do whatever you want. I'm 35 years old. I still don't get to do what I want. And I'm like, what in the world? That's such a lie. But I mean, come on, like, why do we expect somebody to do something that we're told, that we're telling them to do, and then when somebody says, hey, man, hey, you probably shouldn't do that, then we get all upset. We want God to listen to us, but we don't want to listen to God. That's a problem. We want to cry out to him and spend all this time talking and talking and talking, but we don't want to just sit down and say, Lord, I'm just going to be quiet. I just want to hear from you. It's important. If I'm always talking and Wendy's always listening, we have a communication problem. I remember my dad said, the Lord has given you two ears to hear and one mouth. So you need to do twice the amount of listening than you are speaking. And I tell you what, I learned that in business too. Because when you stop and you listen to what the need is that people have, you get to service them even better. A guy said, when you're talking with somebody, don't think about the next thing that you're going to say. Just listen. Listen to them. A lot of times when I've talked with people, it's funny. I'll just ask them questions, just little things, and they'll just keep talking and talking and talking. And the next thing you know, they're like, man, dude, you're awesome. Thank you so much, man, for helping me out. And you're like, what? Like, dude, you just talked yourself right into it, man. Like, you solved your own problem. Some of the greatest people in this world are great listeners. One of the biggest things, churches, is that we have to come to a place of repentance. Now, it's funny because when we think about repentance, we think about, well, we need to get our lives right with the Lord. But really, repentance is just, it's just turning away from what you're doing right now and saying, you know what, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're in heavy sin. You could just be going, man, I know I shouldn't really be watching that show. So you know what, Lord, I repent. I'm not going to watch that show. It's just taking a 180. It's just saying I'm gonna turn from what I'm doing, and I'm gonna make a conscious effort to go this way, making a conscious effort to go after the things of God. Time's running really short, so here's what we're gonna do. Jonah chapter 2. Some key things I want you to get out of this book of Jonah, and I encourage you to go home and really read this and really dissect this. Jonah chapter 2. Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. And he said, I cry out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of the shoal. Now, I looked that word up and it said hell. Out of the belly of hell I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the floods surrounded me. And the billows and their waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The water surrounded me, even my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit. O Lord, my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to him. I'm sorry. And my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercies. Let's read that again. Verse 8. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But when I sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving, I will pray what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. What a turnaround. The Lord gives him a second chance. Sometimes we get into this place where we think we're too far gone, that we can't get back to on track on what God's got for us. But God's just saying, dude, you just got to get right. You just got to come to me and go, hey, Lord, what do I got to do? It's not hard. We make it hard. Lord, what was the last thing that you told me to do? This could be something that Lord told you to do 10 years ago, and you haven't even done it yet. Lord, what have I not done that you told me to do? Bring those things back to my remembrance. Lord, I messed up. This isn't where you wanted me. It's not the right road, Lord, that you got for me. Lord, I need more direction. The detour signs. The detour signs are there for a reason. It's just to get you to turn around. It's just to lead you to a better road, a better way. If Dan would have heeded to the detour sign, we would not have been stuck. And I mean, we were stuck. And anybody knows anything about them old Delta 88s, like they are heavy. They're like, you get some money at the junkyard with those things, right? I mean, we could not get this thing out, and we were digging and digging and digging, and we actually took a sign, fourth detour sign that we passed. We used that to get us out, and the whole time I'm thinking, like, man, I wish I knew somebody with a four-wheel drive vehicle. And I got an aunt and uncle that live up there, and I was like, man, I wish he had a four-wheel drive vehicle. And it's like, I was thinking about this. I was pretty impressed because we used a phone book, right? So cell phones weren't as big as they are now. We used a phone book and looked up our master's commission director's phone number and finally got a hold of him. And And people were laughing, the house. They're laughing. They say, yeah, man, we get people all the time when we're in four-wheel drive vehicles. I ain't never seen anybody with a car. If he would have heeded to it, we would have been home way sooner than what we were. But no. He knew the shortcut. Church, it's time for us to just take ownership of where we're at. Admitting that you know what, I'm not on the right direction path. Maybe you're just sitting there and there's something in your spirit going, hey, this is where you need to get right back right with God. This is where you got off. Take ownership of it. It's okay. If a man of God and a prophet can mess up, Abraham himself took it upon himself to say, you know what, I just don't know if we're really going to have a child through you, Sarah. So, and Sarah's like, you know what, just take my servant. Abraham messed up. Come on, man, you heard directly from God. The Lord cut a covenant with you, man. It's okay to get off on the wrong road, but it's not okay to stay on that wrong road. Take action. One of the things is I want you guys to go ahead and turn to Jeremiah 29:11, and then we're just going to kind of wrap this up. Each and every one of you have a call upon your life. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. I don't care if you're got beautiful locks like me or not. Each and every one of you got a call upon your life. I tell my students all the time, God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for you. And sometimes we think like just because we're not teenagers or we're older that God doesn't have a plan for us. And no. He's got a plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11. Let me get there because we're going to. Come on now. Jeremiah 29. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. We'll just stop there. It's important, church. It's important that we come to a place where we're like, you know what? I don't care what's going on. We're just going to spend time with the Lord. It doesn't matter where we're at in life. It just matters where we're going at in life. Jonah goes and finally does what God is telling him to do. Finally, the Lord had to tell him a second time. Arise, go to Nineveh, a great city, and preach the message I tell you to. We should never get to that place where the Lord has to keep telling us over and over and over. Because pretty soon, when the Lord's telling us, you do this, you do this, you do this, he's going to stop telling you to do it. I tell my kids all the time. And it's funny because I know this is like recorded, but I'm just going to share something with you. I tell my kids all the time. If I got to keep telling you, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to whoop you. I'm going to whoop your rear end. Because I'm not going to keep telling you to do something when you know that that's what you're supposed to be doing. I'm not going to keep telling you. And it's not that I don't love them. I love them. I love my kids to death, man. I'd give my life up for my kids. But it's because I love them that it's like, no, you're gonna do what I tell you to do. You're going to be men and women of God. You're going to be the people that this generation growing up is, we got to raise them up. And it's funny because all Jonah's got to tell the people is, yeah, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. 40 days. Wow, Jonah, that was so hard. Sometimes it's the little things that really mess us up. Sometimes it's the little things that are really keeping us from really doing the things of God. And it's not even hard. It's like coming up to somebody and going, hey, man, I'd really appreciate if you watch your language around me. That could change everything. Oh, why? Oh, why? Because I just don't really appreciate all the cursing and everything that you do. Hey, man, I appreciate you not talk like that around me. You can talk like that all you want, but not around me, please. That changed their life. Nineveh was changed for eternity. Nineveh changed their life and said, you know what? We're getting right. We're decree from the king. Hopefully we can turn things around so God don't strike us all dead. I'll share this with you and then I'll close. Audra has been volunteering in youth group. And one of the things I told Audra was, as I said, you know, you never know what's going to go on that you're going to touch a kid's life. We have students that we have, they're actually in ministry. I just talked with one today, last night, that God is just doing miraculous things with him. It's unbelievable. But a relationship that I never, he's a teenager, you know, I was in my 20s. But they remember things that I don't even remember when we were youth leaders that impacted them. And it was a cool thing is that because getting in direction, getting in line with God, you're never going to know what lives you change for eternity. And it's sometimes those intangible things. And when I couldn't be there to talk to a new student, by the way, we've got three boys. I'm excited because it's only been Skylar, and it's like, girls, you guys need to bring some boys. What in the world? So they finally brought some boys. But this student said something to Audra. I'm over here doing whatever. She's standing here, and she just got to speak life into this kid. And she said, Pastor Justin, look, when I kept telling him how awesome he is, and she was basically telling him how God viewed him, he kept getting lit up. Oh, man. Church, we never know how we're going to affect people's lives. But because she felt that God wanted her to start being a youth leader, she just affected one life. Now, if that's the only reason why God wanted her to help out with SWAT youth, man, she fulfilled it all. She fulfilled it all. Church, you have a call upon our, we all have calls upon our life. And we have to stop and get into that quiet place. We have to stop and go, okay, Lord, what do you got for me? What do you have for me? Go ahead, with every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe that's you. Maybe there's that thing that the Lord is dealing with you right now. And you know what that is. It's just time to just get right with him right now. It's time to just repent and go, you know what, Lord, I missed it. You know what, Lord, I'm going to do what you told me to do, even though it might be hard. Just do that. Just take this moment right now and just do that. Father, we just thank you that we can just come to you, Lord. Hearts unabandoned, God. We can make the turnaround. We can see where you want us to go, and we can move with you and not move against you. Lord, we just love you, God, and we just thank you for everything that you're doing in our life. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. Maybe that, maybe there's something going on that, I really need to, I'm feeling this. That maybe there's somebody here that you just feel like, you know what? I just need to really rededicate my life to the Lord. I need to really get back to the place where I have really lost my first love. Do not walk out of this building without coming and talking to me or Pastor. Do not. Each and every one of you got lives to touch. Each and every one of you got a call upon your life. No matter what situation you're going through, no matter what's going on, each and every one of you got a call upon your life. The biggest thing that me and this man want to see, for you to fulfill that call. For you to walk in that destiny, to walk in line with what God's got for you. I want to see nothing more than to see each and every one of you in heaven and watching that reel and going, "Whoa, boy, you did it, man. Girl, you did it. That's awesome." It's important. It's important for me and Pastor to make sure we're continually lining ourselves up with the Word, continually lining ourselves up with what God's got for us. Because church, this church is going somewhere. Me and Wendy keep talking. I always see this church as a pivotal point in Coldwater. I always see this church doing something great in Coldwater. There ain't nothing special about us, but we got you. We have you. And all these other churches don't. And I think we got the best. Amen. So I hope you guys were blessed. I hope that hope you guys got something out of it. You know, I just encourage you to just take the time tonight and just search things out. Get into that Word and find out from the Lord. Lord, what would you have me to do? Amen. All right, let me say a quick prayer and then we'll get out of here. Lord, we just thank you, God, for each and every one of these individuals sitting in these seats, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that the call upon their life is greater than they can ever imagine. Lord, I thank you that they're walking out your plan for their life. Lord, that they're staying in communication daily, Lord, hourly, Lord, minute by minute, Lord. Lord, that their relationship is growing. Lord, that they have a hunger to know you, God, and to experience your love. That they worship you, God, in everything that they do. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, God, that you give me to just be able to see each and every one of these individuals grow in you. Lord, I ask, God, that you would just put a special blessing upon each and every one of these people. Lord, you know each and every one of their needs, God. You know where they're at. Lord, I just ask, God, that you would just bless them. Lord, bless their socks off, Lord. Lord, help us just, God, just to draw closer to you. Lord, we love you and we thank you for everything that you're doing in our life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. All right, Pastor, you have anything? Wednesday nights. Yeah, come out on Wednesday nights. It's always good. So don't be scared. Don't be scared to come out. It'll be awesome. So you guys be blessed. You guys have a great rest of your, have a great Thanksgiving, for one. And eat yourselves some great turkey. Love you guys. You guys have a good one.
I hope you enjoyed and got something out of this message. Thank you again for listening. Join us at Oasis of Love Family Church at 341 North Hudson Street in Coldwater, Michigan. Our Wednesday evening service is at 7 p.m. and our Sunday service is at 10:30 a.m.